to us, and looking forward to what God has in store for us this morning and the teaching of God's Word. It is Mother's Day, obviously, we know that, and it's always a wonderful time in the year to kind of celebrate mothers, and as it's important that you come here this morning, we want you to be encouraged as a mother, want you to know that you are valued. The Bible tells us to honor our fathers and mothers, and that means to place value on them, to honor them, and that doesn't come with an expiration date, does it? Amen. We are always to honor. Doesn't mean you always agree on everything, does it? Now, I don't know if you've ever had a disagreement with a parent, but there's a way to even have a disagreement and still honor them and love them. Amen. And there should be, always should be, a unity in your family, if at all possible. I know there's sometimes circumstances do not allow that to be, but there ought to be efforts in the lives of believers to maintain unity in their family, but always honor your father and your mother. Well, I'm going to read to you, I don't really have one text, but if you keep your Bibles open today, we're going to be going to the book of Proverbs there. I will be in the book of Proverbs a good bit after I lay a little bit of an introduction. And, you know, anytime it comes to Mother's Day, I kind of go to my files or archives of sermons I've preached, and I type in mothers, and I see every Mother's Day sermon I've ever preached. And I read over them, I kind of look at some things, because some things need to be repeated and talked about. And I came across last year's Mother's Day sermon. I'm going to read you the introduction. Well, it's another Mother's Day, 2020. It's safe to say that none of us had planned to spend it like this. It's cold, you're in your cars, and we're outside having church in this parking lot. I'm glad we're not out in the parking lot. That was a different Mother's Day, was it not? But I'm glad to be able to be back in the house of the Lord to make the progress that we have. And regardless of the circumstances, if it was last year or this year, it is still necessary, it is still needful to take time and to appreciate mothers. It's important to take time and to acknowledge the high calling of women. The high calling of women. Now, I encourage you to do this in your own time, but I want you, if you ever get a chance, to study different world views and the value that is placed on the woman. And I promise you this, the world wants us to make us think, yeah, Christianity is so oppressive to women and all of these things. To be honest with you, the Christian worldview gives so much value to women. Why? It says every woman is made in the image of God. You don't see that in other religions. Definitely not the emphasis that is placed on that. And it's encouraging in your own time as well. Read through the book of Luke and the interaction between Jesus and like women and things like that. Especially in the book of Luke, you'll find that there is a high calling put in place on the life of a mother. So what is the high calling of a woman? What is that? In a society that so devalues women, through immodesty, through pornography, through Hollywood, as if they are nothing but an image, to something to just bring maybe pleasure to the sight of a man. What a sad day. That's when we say that women are that. And they look at the Christians and say, you know what? I can't believe y'all think the way you do. Really? Really? You can't believe that we think that women are valuable, that women are made in the image of God and they have something to offer that nobody else can offer. You know, we live in a time where gender confusion is all around us. And they're saying, well, men can do what women can do, and women can do what men can do. No, I'll tell you right now, I cannot do everything a woman can do. I promise you that. I need my wife in my life. My children need my wife. So the high calling of women, we see there, and you don't have to turn here, but I'm just giving you a little bit of a introduction to the high calling of every woman. It tells us in the book of 1 Timothy 2 and 15, it says, a woman shall be saved in childbearing. What does that mean? When the Apostle Paul wrote that, he meant that the saving role, the virtue, the task, the goal of women is not only just to exist, but there's something wonderful and there's something beautiful and there's something noble about a woman, a man and a woman getting married, having children, and that woman raising godly children. Do you know, even in America and in the church world, there have been times when the man has not been the Christian he needed to be, that women would step to the forefront and they would help lead the home, not usurp authority, not try to take over the role of the husband, but they would step in the forefront in the sense that would say, you know what? I'm going to read you the Bible. I'm going to make sure you know about Jesus. This hand that rocks the cradle is the same hand that's going to open a Bible, the same hand that's going to lead you to church. There is so much owed to the mothers in our society. They are to raise godly children. But notice what it says. Women shall be saved in childbearing. Now I want you to notice this. There is a reversal, if you would, of the stigma that was placed on the woman in the Garden of Eden. You remember the story? Who ate the apple, a piece of fruit first, apple? We often say, who was it that led that way, if you would? We know that it was the woman. While on one hand, the woman might bear a stigma for having led in the fall in the Garden of Eden, she reverses that stigma by leading in the producing of a godly generation through her spiritual influence to her children. It is almost, if you would, a contribution to reverse the curse, if you would. If you didn't have a mother, you wouldn't have had a Jesus. There needed to be a Mary. Through the seed of a woman is what the Bible says. So again, the reason I'm saying all of this, because it is so important for you and I to understand that women have a high calling, and the only way that a woman can reach the apex of her existence is when she looks to the Word of God, she conforms to God's design, and therefore she will be happy and satisfied in being who God has created her to be. Of course, that goes for men as well. You'll never be what you need to be unless you look to God, look to His guidance, and there conform to the Word of God. Let me read you this quick little quote, and we're going to get into the book of Proverbs in just a moment. But John MacArthur says this, but it all seems so out of date, if you would, and so irrelevant for women to have decided that her real role in society is not so much a career, but it's for her to be a godly mother to her children. Motherhood in our day has been frankly devastated. It is mocked. Marriage is desecrated. Parental responsibility is neglected. Children are massacred by abortion. Mothers exercise selfishness in their work, in their play, to fulfill their own satisfaction with small regard for their own children, who sometimes they can even choose to ignore. But God's standard hasn't changed. And it is fitting that we take another look at what God intends mothers to be in our society. Hear me, I'm old-fashioned, I know, but I like to think old-fashioned. You may call me that, I try to be biblical. Women, mothers, the highest calling you have when you have those children in this world is that you can lead them into a knowing and a knowledge of God and who He is. It's not, hear me, I'm talking to fathers and mothers now. It's not the school system job to get your kid right. Matter of fact, the school system will probably mess him up if you leave him without instruction and guidance. I'm going to go ahead and say it this way. It's not the pastor and the church's job to get your child right, if you would. It falls solely, number one, on your shoulders. Amen. So with that said, there's so much I could say here today, and I know Mother's Day sermons may not be as exciting, but man, I want you to listen up. Ladies, I want you to listen. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to know what the Bible says about godly mothers. And some of you, while I am teaching this morning, will probably come to, I hope, to some little level of great appreciation. If you have a godly mother, you have something that is so valuable. Some of you know what that means, to have a mother that raises you up. Some of you may not know what that means, but I trust if you had a godly mother, if you didn't have a godly mother, by the end of this teaching today from the book of Proverbs, you'll understand what it means to be a godly mother. And if you are a mother, I hope this is something that resonates with you. If you have a godly mother, I hope you firmly appreciate this. If you didn't have one, that you're not left out, because you know what you should look for in a church and also in the life of your wife, and even as you're raising your children. The book of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, if you want to turn there real quick, that was a quick introduction. And we're going to spend about 30 minutes here. I am mindful of activities and things. At the conclusion of the service, my wife is going to have some little gift for the mothers. I think little hand sanitizers. I know it doesn't seem like much, but how fitting for the day in which we're living. You'll get a fresh hand sanitizer to put in your car. But just know this, that we do appreciate you and we love you from the bottom of our hearts. Proverbs chapter 1, my first point here this morning is this. And this is going to be in verse 8. Embracing a godly mother's teaching. Look there in Proverbs 1 and 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Now notice this. And forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Notice here what this is mentioning this morning. It's letting us know that we should respect parental authority, especially when that parental authority is coming from a godly father and a godly mother. Now, what is interesting about this is Solomon is writing this. We know that his father is King David there. His mother is Bathsheba. We know that the whole situation originally is not the best situation when you study the history of what happened there. But aren't you glad for the grace of God that even sometimes if a mother and a father do mess up, that doesn't mean that their children all have to be raised in an environment where they have to suffer for that, or you can at least do your best to try to curve it, if you would, where your children do not suffer from the mistakes that you made. So it tells us here, number one, hear the instruction of the father and forsake not the law of the mother. So hear and forsake not. It is important for you and I to understand, and especially if you're a parent here or a grandparent, if you have any influence on children, that you should, number one, give instruction to children and also let them know that they should not forsake that instruction. Now, I'm right in the middle of this parenting thing. It's fresh on the mind. I am trying my best and I am far from perfect at it. And sometimes I can misjudge, or sometimes I can put off maybe. But this is the idea with my children. I'm trying to give them the instruction that they need so that they can live in this life to the best of their ability. And I'm letting them know what I am saying to you. It's not just your father saying this, not just your mother saying this, but this is in God's word. And this is binding on your life. And Chloe, she's at the age now. I said, even when you get older, don't think you can just run any direction you want to run without this having some effect upon your life. Forsake not the instruction or the law of your mother. Now, I think this is real beautiful when you look at the life of Moses, his mother Jochebed there. You remember the story, they put Moses in the basket. Pharaoh's daughter finds the baby there, and we know that Miriam was there to tell the princess, hey, look, you know, I know a Hebrew mother that would love to take care and nurse this child and wean this child. And I think about this and how true it is that we don't know much or how long exactly Moses was allowed to go back to his mother, but the weaning there would have taken several years, and whatever the relationship or the setup would have been. I firmly believe this, that Jochebed so influenced her son Moses there that not all the wisdom of the Egyptians was able to destroy the foundation that Jochebed had laid in that youngster's heart. There was something about that mother, because we know that Moses is going to grow up and he's going to wrestle there with his identity in the sense, should I be here? Should I help the Hebrews? He knew he was a Hebrew. He knew that. And so there was something about his mother, something about her instruction, whatever it was. We know exactly this, that she had an influence upon Moses. Hear me tonight, or this morning, mother, grandmother, mother of the church. Don't devalue, if you would, your role in influencing children. I remember in my childhood, there was a lady, there was a Sunday school teacher named Miss Maggie. She was, I forget how old she was, but she was extremely, I think she was mid-80s when I was in Sunday school. But I'll never forget her Sunday school class. And I'll never forget, she would cut out these little, she would hand draw these little animals, and she was such a good artist there, if you would. And she would color them. She would give them out to us as kids. My mom still has them in her Bible, and she shows them to them every now and then. Mom said, "You remember when she did this and did that?" Look, she may not have been my biological mother, but was something sitting there in her instruction and her kindness and her baked cookies was something special in that class that I'll never forget. So even here in a church, every lady has a responsibility to help raise these kids that are here in this church. And me, as a parent, desires for you to influence them with a godly influence. Not an ungodly influence, or I'd have to deal with that, but a godly influence. I want my kids to look at every woman in this church and say, "She believes holiness. She believes what Daddy preaches. She believes what the church believes." So we understand this, that we are not to forsake the teaching of the mother and the instruction of mothers. Not only that, in Proverbs 6 and 20, it sounds similar. We are to embrace a godly mother's advice. Proverbs 6 and 20, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother, bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." Notice this, bind them continually where? Upon thy heart. Now, everybody knows it's true. If you have a good relationship with your mother, she has a special place in your heart. She should. There's some things, even to this day, I know what to call Dad about. Some things I know what to call Mama about. Now, I really used that to my advantage when I was younger. I knew what to go and ask Mama to do. I knew what I would, if I wanted to go ask Daddy. And a lot of times when they have their counsel and realize I tried to sneak around, they would just say, "Nope, you're not doing it. We see what you're trying to do." But the thing is, there's something about a mother in our heart. There's something that we have a certain sensitivity to her, if you would. But notice this, it says, "Forsake not the law of thy mother, bind them upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck." It means keep them with you. Keep them close to thy heart. But notice in verse 22, "When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." Now notice here, you remember the Shema. If you would, in Deuteronomy 6 and 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You cannot help but see the correlation here. We are commanded to say, look, God is number one. When we're eating dinner, when we're going to bed, when we're waking up, that our children can see that pattern in our lives. So, ma'am, please listen to me. Your children are watching you. They watch what you say. They watch how you react. Ma'am, they watch how you treat your husband. You want your children to honor the authority of your home? Do you? Show them how that authority should look, right? And again, you say, what about the men? Well, yeah, I know that happens. What about them men? Well, we'll get to them on Father's Day. You got to wait. We're talking to you today. Is that fair? Can't disclaim everything every sermon. Can't touch it all. But ladies, show your children how life should be. When you wake up, when you go to bed, when you're sitting at the table. Grandparents, you're not off, you know, I know you may retire, but you're not retired from being a grandparent, and you shouldn't want to retire from being a grandparent. Show them, you ever met that older couple that you just admire? Their marriage, the way they treat each other? Kids need to see that. So even on Mother's Day, look, I know sometimes mothers may get older and their kids get older, and all the grandparents, you know, they don't mind the grandkids. They can come over just for a certain amount of time. And I often kid with my parents because, I miss them grandbabies. I miss them grandbabies. All right, so I'll drop them off for 2 or 3 days. Hey, when you going to come get them? And jokingly, I know most grandparents will say, "I'd keep them for," and I've called their bluff a few times. They say, "I could keep them forever." I'm like, okay. We'll find out. But the reality is, you've raised your kids, you put the time in, so I don't expect you to raise mine. We live in a sad day when grandparents are having to raise their grandkids, not because there's been a death with a child, but because they got a negligent child. Right? It's a sad day. Now, obviously, I appreciate grandmothers that are willing to raise grandkids and all of that. But it's the parents' duty. So again, you are to expect, you are to respect and embrace a godly mother's advice. Tie them about their heart. Proverbs 14:1 says this, and it talks about how a wise mother helps make her home and how it affects the home. It says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but a foolish plucketh it down with her hands. I'm going to read to you from a paraphrase. The wise woman builds her house on a foundation of godly precepts, and her household thrives. But the foolish one who lacks spiritual insight tears it down with her own hands by ignoring godly principles. Let me tell you how to build your home. It doesn't matter how big it is. It doesn't matter if you have granite countertops or not. Doesn't matter if you have the most updated home. If you're a grandmother, if you're a parent, all of that is one thing. You may have a desire and want a house to look a certain way. But just because your house looks a certain way doesn't mean that it is a home. There's something that makes a house a home. And what is that? It's the peace of God. It's the counsel of the Lord that is upon your hearts. And your home as a mother ought to be something that you want to build up with godly principles, a place of peace. I've noticed this with my wife's father. He'll come in and visit occasionally. But there's something, even though he doesn't stay long, there's something he appreciates about our home. It is a home. And the more than his shingles and wood and sheetrock, there's something there that has a sense of peace about it. What is that? Is that because it's me? Is that because it's Holly? No. It's because we try our best with the Lord's help to uphold God's principles. And where God's principles are, a home will flourish. There will be a peace there. There will be something special about that place that even the world can see. Brothers and sisters and women, hear me this morning. Mothers, you ought to do everything you can to build your home. But you are foolish if you pluck it down with your hands. And again, that's not talking about a demolition. That's talking about the way that you live your life. There's an old English proverb that says, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. What that is saying is the influence of a mother on a child. When you study throughout the book of Proverbs and also there in the book of 1 and 2 Kings, the influence of a mother is so critical that even there, you're helping to shape the future generations. Notice number 4. Fourth point, Proverbs 15:20. A wise son maketh a glad father. Now, I'm a son, and I can just tell you there's a difference in the countenance of my father in our relationship when I wasn't saved, now that I am saved. I used to cause tears and heartache. Now it should be my heart to bring gladness into his life. But notice the latter part of verse 20 of Proverbs 15. But a foolish man despiseth his mother. Foolish man. Word foolish there again bears out the idea of a moron. And I'm going to say this, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but it's true. You're a moron if you despise your mother. Now again, does that mean you can never disagree with her? No. Sometimes you may have a disagreement with a mother. Is there a way to handle that disagreement? Yes. Yeah, don't sit there stomp your foot. Wow! No, don't do that. Honor them. Do not get to the place, though, that you despise a mother, to the place that you do not appreciate who she is. She helped bring you into this world. She helped sustain your life. She helped provide for you. And the Bible places enormous importance on that parenthood. A child's parent, hear me, when you were younger, those parents acted as a place of provision and a place of protection. And in your formative years, it was the mother and the father of your home. And we're talking about mothers here today, who actually acted in place, if you would, as an example of God for you. They showed you authority. They showed you the right way. And you should honor that, especially if you had a godly mother. Children who do not honor their parents is doing a great dishonor to God. Now, there was something in the Bible days that we don't know much about in our society. I'm going to just tell you right now, America is a messed up country right now. The way that we treat our parents, the way that parents treat kids. But Jews lived in what was called an honor and a shame society. There was something extremely disgraceful when you brought dishonor on your family name. We live in a society that don't care about that no more. You know, years ago, people cared about their integrity of their name. They cared about the name of their father, the name of their mother. And it was something in a Jewish society, and an honor and a shame society. It was a great reproach for a child to bring anything, a reproach against the name of their father or their mother. Children who despise their parents ultimately would dishonor God, and that's how it was viewed. Now, in our society, it is not uncommon for kids and adult children to dishonor their mother and their father. And they act like, well, this is America. I'm going to just do it my way. And this all about me and my family. That is your family. You were not to marry. Yes, you are to leave father and mother and cleave to your wife. But that doesn't mean you forsake the honor of your family. So we live in a society, there's some people, and again, I am honestly not against convalescent centers. I know they are needed. My family has had to use it with my grandfather. But if you place a loved one in a convalescent center, a nursing home, you owe them a visit, a phone call, and care. Something that breaks my heart in nursing home ministry, I have met people whose kids come see them maybe once a year. Shame on them. Placed in there and forgotten, God forbid, you can get to the place where some people despise their parents. Now you may say, well, my mother did this or my father did that. Even if they did that, you can pray and have a spirit of forgiveness and say, look, you may not trust them in some areas. Doesn't mean you have to give them everything. You have to trust them in everything, but you still can do your best to honor them to the best of your ability and not despise them. Proverbs 19 and 26 tells us, don't chase away your mother's affection. Proverbs 19, 26, he that wasteth his father and chases away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Now I'm sure if I was to go around this room today and ask somebody, do you have any lost children? Or some children maybe it was in your life, you helped raise them and now they don't have much to do with you or doing things. How many would be honest and say that hurts your heart? If they chase away your affection, if they don't appreciate your affection, if they don't appreciate your sacrifices, any man or woman that would alienate the affections of her mother who once had fondness for him, again, remember this, your mother has a right to talk to you. She admired your first cry. She now deserves to hear your voice now. It is a shame that there's some in the society, the very woman, the very one that brought them into this world, that carried them for 9 months, that heard their first cry, that nursed them, that took care of them. Children will grow up sometimes and they'll neglect that relationship and chase away the affection of a mother. It ought not be. It ought not to be. She deserves to see your smile. Not only in your childhood, she deserves to see your smile in your adulthood as well. Please honor your mother. Here you go. Here's another one. I'm just giving you instruction from the book of Proverbs. You are to love your mother in her old age. Proverbs 23 and 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. The father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Again. It ought to do something for you to bring joy to your mother or your father. It ought to do something. I'm to the place now, anytime I get a chance. You know, my parents live an hour and a half from here, but they might as well live 5 hours. I feel like I never can get there. You ever been there before? It's like, man, it's really not that far, but it might as well be further. Because you feel like you never can get the chance, but every now and then it'll hit me. And I'll tell my wife, I said, I'm going to Carolina today. She'll say, why? I said, I need to go see my grandparents. She says, it's been too long. I need to take these grandbabies. I need to get them around them. I said, they deserve the joy that I'm experiencing in life right now. And so that ought to do something for me, ought to do something for you, to bring honor, to bring gladness to their hearts. So the father and the mother, it says here, will be glad. So hear me, you can either make your mother so sad, or you can make her so glad on this Mother's Day. And you've got to understand, it is your job, it's your obligation to take the initiative to bring some joy into their life and gladness into their lives by your a phone call, a card, a text, going to see them. You need to do that. You need to do that. And I like what it says. And she that bare thee shall rejoice. There was one point in time she carried you. She bared thee. And not only was that joy for that moment, but it should be for the rest of her life. Won't be much longer here. It says in Proverbs 30:11, there is a generation that curseth their father. And notice this. And doth not bless their mother. A society that curses their father and does not bless their mother. See, Jesus himself grew up in a home, did he not? Mary, his mother. Joseph was his earthly father. You remember the time that they lost Jesus? That's never a good thing to do. But how many days was it? Am I remember? Was it 3 days? What do you notice? Jesus has some understanding of his mission, right? He's in the temple. He's talking to lawyers and religious authorities, and they are amazed by this young man. And Mary comes to him, and basically, where you been? I'm paraphrasing here. You know, look, all the 3 days, we're looking for you and all this. And what did Jesus say? I must be about my Father's business, right? Now, we're talking about the Son of God, who has an understanding now of his Father's business. 12 years old, but yet he still chooses to submit himself to Joseph and Mary for the rest until we see him at 30 years old, or you know, whatever happened to Joseph, and we believe he died. But remember this, when Jesus is on the cross, right? You remember the story that Jesus is there on the cross, and who comes? You got John and Mary. Does Jesus take care of her even when he's about to leave this world? John, behold your mother, tells her to behold Son. Now, last little stop here, and again, I'm mindful of what activities might be going on today. Proverbs 31:10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Hear me, your marriage ought to be so godly, if you would. Right standings. That husbands ought to be able to trust the wives, and the wife ought to be able to trust their husbands, right? We live in a society that is full of trust issues in marriages. It is. I have counseled people before, it would blow your mind, that it comes down to this. Hey, he don't let me look on his phone. And he's like, well, she don't let me look at her phone. What do you've got to hide? I'll let you look at my phone. I don't care. I ain't got nothing to hide from you. We ought to live, and again, I believe in privacy and in personal things like that. But again, in a marriage, you're supposed to be so one, you become one flesh, right? Kids can realize when it's not so. And ladies, again, I'm preaching to you on Mother's Day. Your relationship with your husband ought to be so unified. Your relationship with your children ought not be that close. Be closer, if you would. It needs to be different, obviously. Be close to your children. But your relationship with your children is never to replace your marriage. You know what happens sometime, and I'm just chasing this rabbit, and I'll come back on course. You have a husband and a wife that have a home, and it's centered around children, and not centered around the order of God, and not centered around the order of their marriage, then the children in right order, and the kids become the idols of the home. You ever noticed that before? There's some people that just completely take their kids and they lift them to the top of the scene, and the marriage suffers. And that home is held together, hear me, by the children. They're busy taking care of the kids, busy taking the kids here and a part of this and a part of that. But guess what happens to the children? What do? They grow up. And then all of a sudden, when the kids are out of the house, if your marriage was not what it's supposed to be, you're realizing I'm married to a complete stranger. I ain't got my daughter to talk to no more. I ain't got my son to talk to no more. I ain't got to go to this and go here. You're there with that husband or you're there with that wife, but that ought to be some of the most fruitful years of your life. But again, kids can tell when marriages are not what they should be. Proverbs 31 and 28, it goes on to say, her children shall arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is in vain. Boy, we live in a very cosmetic generation, don't we? Terrified of getting a gray hair. Terrified of a wrinkle. Shoot, I told you Wednesday night. People say, you're losing your hair, you're upset. I said, I don't care. I'm married and three kids. You think I'm worried about hanging on to a few hairs? I got other problems. I'll never forget, I went to the Edenton Christmas parade one time, and I'll leave you with this, and I'll just tell you, this is what you ought not do if you're a mother or a woman at all. And I'm there at this parade, and I see something at distance. I see this lady, probably, I don't know how old she was, might have been in her 70s, 80s, I don't know. And I'm not telling you what's old and young, I'm just saying that's how old she was. She was trying her best to look 40. I mean, had them tall heels on, I mean, legs shaking out there, and I mean, it's cold. Got this big old fur coat on that looked like it weighed 40 pounds. And I look over there and you could just tell cosmetically everything, trying her best to look like she's 40 years old. Like that's the goal in life. This is blessed. No, it's pitiful. But then I enjoy seeing those grandmothers over there with them grandkids. Over there with them kids. Taking what I'm saying is, beauty is in vain. And again, ladies, the Bible tells us in the book of Timothy that it should not be about the adornment of the flesh and the braiding of hair and all these things, but about the inward spirit of a woman. Adorn yourself with that. See, the woman that relies on outward adornment, hear me, she relies on that, is because normally sometimes they're dried up on the inside. And so they're trying to create all this volume on the outside because they ain't got much on the inside. But a godly woman's heart, her soul, her spirit is to be modest. It's supposed to be right and temperate and holy and virtuous. And that will radiate on a person's countenance. Don't worry about just dolling up if you would. Beauty is all in vain. But every lady, every mother ought to say, look, I want my children not just to see jewelry or makeup or something like that or outward adornment. I want them to see a modest and a godly spirit. I want them to see the peace of God upon my countenance. That goes a lot further. Hear me, lady. Hear me, ma'am. Goes a lot further than trying to live like this world in these last days. All right. I've said enough. There's more that could be said. I could ramble on about mothers, but stand to your feet. We love mothers. We appreciate them. And, you know, it's always a little... I try not to use this word, but not necessarily awkward, but you may be here today and say, all right, Brother Derek, nice sermon about mothers and women. I'm a man. What does it mean? Well, let me give you, and I try to go through this every year. In closing, let me ask a couple of questions. What does this say and how does this apply to every one of us here, man and woman? Number one, first of all, ask yourself, if you are a mother, are you a godly mother? Ask yourself that question. If you're a mother here, a grandmother, mother, are you a godly mother? Secondly, say that you don't have children, maybe you're pregnant. Are you preparing to be a godly mother? Thirdly, are you, and if you're already older, if you're older here this morning, are you preparing young women to be godly mothers? What is your influence upon the younger generation? Well, men, let me talk to you. And I would ask the men in this congregation, are you creating the environment in which your wife's godliness can be at its best effect? Are you creating an environment in your home that your wife doesn't have to try to do two jobs, doesn't have to try to be the spiritual leader and the provider and the protector, but are you creating an environment that your wife can be what she needs to be? Are you raising sons? I'm talking to the men. Are you raising sons who will lead their wives to be godly mothers? And to the young people, I say, are you honoring your mother? If you're still living in home, are you honoring and obeying your mother to the best of your ability? not chasing away her affection. If God has given you a godly mother, God has given you one of the greatest gifts you can have. Again, I'm not saying every mother's perfect, but you ought to honor your mother. And there may be some here to say, my mother was not godly. Let me ask you a question. If she's still alive, are you praying for her? Are you praying for her and asking God's Spirit somehow to bring you under the influence, bring her under the influence of the Word of God and show her what she ought to be? And I will tell you right now, the hope of our society rests in what's going to happen in the next generation. And the next generation needs to see godly mothers. All right. So I want every woman to stay standing. Men, I'm sorry. Sit down. I've messed up. And I could have said that nicely. I didn't mean anything bad by it. But look around. These are the women of the church, the ones that are here. And if you're able to stand or not able to stand, we understand that. But I want to pray over you. It's what we like to do. At Abundant Life Tabernacle, we do appreciate you, your influence, your godliness. I hope you're encouraged today and blessed. And men, let's pray for these women. Can we do that? Let's pray for these women. Dear Heavenly Father, I do ask you, Lord, for the women of this church. God, that you would touch them, that you would help them. God, I know there's some that have biological children. There's some that have worked in the foster system. There's some, God, that may not have had physical, maybe biological children, but there's still a godly woman in the church, an influence in the church. And we ask you, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would help them, Lord Jesus. Encourage them today. The Bible gives us instruction, God. It gives us wisdom of how we are to relate and deal with mothers and how we ought to pattern ourselves. God, I want them to have a blessed day, God. Be with them. Give them strength in this time, God. Let them know how much you love them and care for them. Bless their time with their families or in their homes. And God, we appreciate all that you do for. Help us all to honor every mother, every woman, every godly woman in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Women, we love and appreciate you at Abundant Life. My wife is going to be in the foyer with those little sanitizers. But again, we appreciate you. We love you. And whatever festivities or meal, or maybe you just get to take a longer nap on Mother's Day. I don't know. Have a wonderful Mother's Day and Lord's Day. We'll see you this afternoon. God bless you.